Friends, I do hope you have a Bible, and if you would like one to see what we're looking at, then please ask the stewards. I'm sure they can send one to you, get one to you. It's useful. We're going to just think about those words that we've read for a few minutes now, and if you want to use the notes sheet that I pointed out to you at the beginning, please do take one of those and make use of it. Even if you don't use it for the sermon, I'd love for you to take it home and take it with you and read what's there. And as we do, many people have many ideas about Jesus Christ. He's written about in many religious texts, and indeed a great deal of fiction. Today, we're just looking at one short section of the Bible, and I want us to see what we can about this Jesus from that text. We will see a little bit about the man and a little bit about the mission. And those are my two headings this morning. Two headings, two thoughts. The man and his mission. Now, normally we'd spend about half an hour looking at such a passage. We'll be a bit shorter today. And do take those notes away with you. But these two headings, the man and the mission. And we come first to look at the man. Who is this Jesus Christ? What can we learn of him from this moment in history? The early verses of our reading, verses 12 to 16, are an encounter between a man with a contagious skin disease and Jesus. They are probably alone. It would be most likely that this is early in the morning, and the man is risking a very, very great deal in order to come to Jesus. He is breaching the law of the land, and if he were caught doing that, the penalty would be death. Now, that sounds quite extreme, but it's not meant to be. You've probably seen in the news recently the pictures of that nurse who's come back from serving in the Ebola area. I forget her first name. Kafaki, isn't it? Pauline, did you say? She's been, whenever she's got ill again, she's been put into that bubble, hasn't she? That tent that captures her and whatever it is that she has and protects everybody outside from catching it. Well, they didn't have that in those days. The only way they could protect everybody else from a contagious skin disease was to say, you need to go and live away from us. And that was the law and that was the rule. There's no barrier nursing. And so the society can stop the contagion if those who have disease are set apart. And so this man with disease is risking everything in order to come back into community, into society, and meet with someone he's not supposed to meet with. And I think as you look at this passage, you see that, quite frankly, Jesus Christ understands this, as I think anybody would have done in those days. But will you notice with me then the question that the man asks? He doesn't ask the Lord Jesus if he is able to heal him. He asks if he's willing. You see, he knew already that Jesus was able to heal him. He'd heard the news. And if you wish to look at the proof for yourself, just read the earlier chapters of Luke's gospel, as Luke has recorded for us the account of how the Lord Jesus Christ has power over those who are demon-possessed and those who have various and many illnesses. Just a couple of verses to help. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40 says, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, you're the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. The question is not, can Jesus heal, but will he heal? Will Jesus heal one such as this? One who is outcast from society. One who is shut out. One who has to remain on pain of death because of a contagious illness, away from everybody else. What is the nature of the man? Will Jesus heal him? Will he consent to touch him? Or will he, as he was within his right, within the law, pick up the nearest stone and hurl it at this man with the contagious skin disease? That's what he would have been entitled to do, to send him away. Verse 13 answers the question. Jesus reached out and touched him. And he says as well, he answers with words, not just actions. He answers with words, I am willing. Friends, if you want to know Jesus, understand this about him. He is a man who is willing to go the extra mile, to give costly compassion. He's willing to touch a complete outcast in order that that outcast might be healed. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Verse 14 answers the question. Jesus makes it very clear that he wants this man to go to the priest and to fulfill the law. It would have taken a week to prove his cleanliness. He would have had to go to the priest and say, I'm clean. And the priest would look at him and say, I know, you're the leper. But I see there's a difference. They do an offering, they make a sacrifice. And the priest says, okay, stay out, away from everybody, and come back again next week. And if you are still clean, you will be clean and you will be welcomed back into society. And all of that, those sacrifices, that coming to the temple, that seeing the priest at either end of a week, would have done one thing. It would have shown the whole community and the man that God had healed. And it would have given the glory and all the praise to God. By bookending that week in the temple, he would have prayed and thanked God for the healing, for the grace that had been extended to him. And in case we're in any doubt, Jesus stresses that even as this miracle is repeated time and time again, it's not about himself. He doesn't want the fame. Verse 16 shows us the man, doesn't it? He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he wanted to be in touch with his Father in heaven. He wants God to have the glory. Costly compassion, then, is the mark of this man, Jesus. And he wants God to have the glory in all that he does. But what of his mission? What of his mission? We have seen, or as we have been studying in Luke's gospel here as a church, that Jesus is all about the teaching. That's been a key point of the chapters before. It's paralleled in Mark's gospel, and Mark chapter 1 verse 36 sums it up like this. Simon and his companions went to look for Jesus, and when they find him, they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. And on hearing that everybody was looking for him, Jesus said, oh, quick, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there. That is why I have come. On this occasion, it's not just the mission of teaching and preaching. On this occasion, we understand the full depth of the mission that Jesus Christ has come on. Verse 17 tells us that Jesus explains the measure of the mission in front of the religious authorities of the day. When you've got something important to say, you call a press conference. When you've got something really important to say, you might have a legal team help you prepare it and stand by and so on. That's really what's going on here. Jesus didn't call a press conference. They came from all around, the text tells us. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law from all over Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem, they're there. They've finally woken up. Something's going on. They want to find out what's going on. They're there. And on this first occasion that they're there, as Luke records for us, Jesus explains his mission in great depth. They've seen Jesus has the power to heal. In fact, that's why they're there. And again, that's repeated on this occasion. But that's not the mission. I wonder what they were thinking, having seen that demonstration of awesome and amazing power. Perhaps they're wondering what to make of it all. Even if they are, I think they were truly shocked by what happens next. When the four men with their paralyzed friend tear up the roof so that they can lower him in, so that he can be right in front of Jesus. No one would let them in through the door. You can imagine them trying to get in, barging their way, excuse me, please, and there's no room. Nobody would move. But when they tear off the roof and lower him in, everybody squeezes back. They found the room because the man ends at Jesus' feet. So what will he say to these? What does he do now in front of all the authorities at this most obvious, significant moment? I'm not healing you until you repair the roof? No, nothing like that. Healing isn't the first thing on Jesus' mind at this point. He seizes this moment. Look with me, please, at verse 20. It's the key. The first thing Jesus says after all this hiatus, after this change, after all this is going on, the clay has fallen down, people have been disrupting the meeting. Jesus sees their faith and says, friends, your sins are forgiven. Here is Jesus' mission. The man is not yet healed, and yet Jesus claims for himself his mission. He makes it clear what the mission is. He proclaims he's come to do a greater work than just healing. Do you remember the old Bond films where James Bond, 007, and the villain used to meet at the beginning? And in my mind, it's Roger Moore, and he always looked pretty dapper in his suit, didn't he, at the beginning? And he meets the villain, who looks equally dapper, if not smarter, and they have tea. or they meet and they go shooting or something. You know, really, it's very genteel. It's very... But there's an undercurrent, isn't there? Bond doesn't know why he's there, but the villain does. And Bond tends to go away with the impression, there's more to find out. There is. I knew there was something. Now I know I've got to work at it and find out. So far, the religious authorities thought they were dealing with a prophet healer type. Now they've got to deal with something much bigger, something much greater, a huge claim. Now they have to deal with a really big question, because Jesus Christ has just said, I've come to forgive sins. I must pause at this moment and remind us what sin is. Back then, I think everybody would have understood pretty much. But today, I'm not sure we do. A bit like the tales of Jesus Christ, there are many different versions, if you like, many different ideas. The Bible tells us this. God made everything and set it up how it should be. His making everything gives him the right to say what is right and what is wrong. And sin is defined in the Bible as doing the things that God said we shouldn't do, and not doing the things that God has said we should do. If God has made everything, as the Bible contests, then God's right, it's his right, to say what the penalty for sin is as well. And very clearly, from the very beginning of Scripture, the Bible tells us God lives in heaven where there is no sin, there's no problem, there's no sickness. And those people who do sin are separated from God and can't be in his presence. Now, we call that separation death. The first death is when our spiritual self is separated from our bodies. And at that time, we will stand before God and our sin will be measured or judged. And the second death is for those who are found at that time to be in sinful rebellion against God. And they will be separated from him forever. We sometimes call that shorthand at hell. It's where everyone is heading. For we have all fallen short of the glory of God. It's an immense problem. For each one of us dies. Let's be honest. What do they say? Death and taxes. I think if you go to the right places, you might escape taxes. But not one of us will escape death. It's the penalty for sin. It's an immense problem. The whole human race is suffering from it. And Jesus Christ is claiming his mission is to fix it. This is what he came to do. The religious rulers don't like it. Actually, it'll be the focus Luke has for the next few chapters, explaining and proving the claim. They say only God can forgive sins. And so Jesus has effectively said, I'm God, because I've come to forgive sins. Jesus claims to have that unique authority, the ability to forgive sins. The religious rulers still haven't said anything, and Jesus continues. He knows what they're thinking, and so he hammers home the point. You see, Jesus says, you've come here to see power. You've seen power. You've seen a power far beyond anything you've ever known. Now I claim that this power is power enough to forgive sins. That's what Jesus does. He says, by saying, your sins are forgiven you, to the man, he says, first and foremost, that's what I'm doing. He says, it's actually easier to say this. I could say, your sins are forgiven. And nobody could truly know. You couldn't test that. So I've started by healing people to show you the measure of my power, because you can test that. And you've brought every sort of person to me with every sort of illness, demonic possession, and I've healed them. I've got that power. And Jesus says the measure of this power is enough to forgive sins. So then he says to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And of course the man does. Because the power Jesus wields is enough. It is enough. In effect, friends, Jesus has just said, forgiveness is here. Forgiveness is here. That's the title of our sermon this morning. It fits in with our series. For those of you who aren't here regularly, that doesn't matter. But this is what Jesus is saying at this point in his teaching. It's not just healing is here, but forgiveness from that deep sin problem is here. Everyone is amazed and gives praise to God. They're filled with awe. Jesus declares his mission to be nothing less than the full forgiveness of sins and the full healing, the restoration of man and God, which follows, which results. Kez and Jake have testified to the fact that this same Jesus and this same forgiveness are alive and still working today, 2,000 years later. They know the truth about sin, and they know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You heard them say it, and that's what they testified to in the waters of baptism. You see, this Lord Jesus, who claims forgiveness is here, went on to finish his mission. He returned to heaven as the conquering king who had conquered sin and death. And since that day, the work of saving people from sin is ongoing. Indeed, today, forgiveness is here. It is available to you. If you've never thought about this for yourself, think now. If you've never heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, as the old hymn goes, come and be free from your sin. Be right with God. Have forgiveness and a safe and secure eternal future in heaven with me. Hear Jesus Christ say it to you today. Forgiveness is here. Will you take it? Will you take it?